list of members, and then at the end, if anyone else is here that I did not call their name, to please please acknowledge you're here. Okay, so the first, Beth Reel. Beth? Hey, Brandy Alger got, and I apologize. Please correct me if I'm misspelling, mispronouncing your name.
Alter got.
Brandy? Deborah Reed?
Here.
Dennis Regan? Dennis? Okay. Frank Funamo? Frank? Hey, Frank LaSquadra? Frank LaSquadra. Okay. Gary Allen. No, you're here. Jay Brown.
Here.
Jennifer Jenkins.
Here.
Here.
John Carnamello.
Here.
John McNichol.
Here.
Kendra Valenti.
Morning, here.
Probably Valenti.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. Lucretia Jones?
I'm here.
Anita Mendoza?
Here.
Nicole Rico Serrano? Bill McGalnick?
Present. Good morning.
Scott Baker?
Here.
Will DeMay?
You can call me Bill, and I'm here, present.
Bill, okay. Bill. I don't know why I said Will. Will Young is how it's worded, but Bill DeMayo. And there's somebody actually that just joined us. Okay, did someone just join us?
The name's Regan, Dennis Regan.
Okay, perfect, thank you. He did. Okay, so that's it for the members. Is anybody else here that wants to introduce themselves?
Mary, good morning. It's Cheryl. I'm on.
Hi, Cheryl. And I should probably introduce myself. I'm Mary Bergard, the vocational supervisor. Okay.
Okay.
I think that's it. We'll get started.
This is okay, Zach Moore. I just want to identify myself. I'm sorry. I just want to identify myself. I'm sorry. This is Zach Moore. I was just waiting for others. I apologize.
So, there's this echo. Is everybody else here?
Yeah, I'm here.
I would suggest that everybody mute their microphone if they're not talking.
That can be done using *6 if you're using the phone line to call in.
Was it *6 to mute and then the same to unmute?
That's correct, Scott.
Yep.
Thank you.
I can mute everybody, so I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
And then Gary, you'll probably be muted, so you're going to have to unmute yourself.
Okay. All right, that sounds a lot better. So okay. Let's see. Okay. So the next thing I'd like to do is public comment. Is there anyone from the public that wants to make any comments? I guess not. So let's go to old business. Review and approval of the minutes from the June 22nd, 2022 meeting. Has everybody read?
Can I interrupt for a second?
Oh, sure.
Just to say that Beth Reel has joined us, Zach, for the minutes.
Thank you.
Because she's been the member. So we definitely have a quorum. Okay, sorry.
Gary to Philip?
Yes.
With the minutes, I did review them, and I noticed on the portion when I was unable to make the meeting, I was in a federal office building. signal. There was no, you did mention that we, you and I attended a couple of conferences on behalf of the SRC. I don't know if any comment was made about some of the content of those meetings. I'd like to add those into the minutes, if possible. Gary and I attended two conferences during the spring. The most important one, I think, was the National Council State Agencies for the Blind, and the keynote speaker was the Deputy Secretary of Education for Special Education and Disability Services from Washington. And one thing I think is important for all of us on the SRC to know, hopefully in the future with Zoom, we would all have the privilege of attending these conferences, because we really learn what the SRC should be doing, what the VR programs are doing throughout other states, and it gives us a better perspective on, you know, what we should be doing perhaps, or what we should be looking into. But one thing that I took away, a few things I took away, was first that out of, I think it was over $300 million spent on VR programs throughout the 50 states, and more than half of that was returned to the federal government. Now, granted, the pandemic affected a lot of that, where services are not being provided, but in the past, they do get quite a bit of money returned back to the feds. And the secretary commented that how important it is for the states and VR programs to reach out to the feds should they have, you know, difficulties spending that money. They'd like to see the money spent on retaining and hiring and retaining employees and rehab teachers and counselors. They'd like the money to be used by VR staff to get out there and network with the communities and searching for job and education opportunities, as well as taking time to spend with the clients to find out what kind of jobs they're interested in. A lot of times, unfortunately, as she said, we cannot always complete the soul with the jobs that we want to do, but often we have to do what we need to do to become financially independent. So I think that was really important. They want to bend over backwards to help the states and the VR programs such as ours to be more efficient and effective and use the money because it's there. And when a lot comes back, that means either services are not being provided or something's wrong. So we have to be cognizant of what we're using, what we're spending on. During the pandemic, it was also discovered when they were speaking of the Randolph-Shepard Act about vending machines and businesses and government buildings, that they found that a lot of the VR BEP program participants were not keeping good financial records. And one state reported that out of 15 vendors, 9 did not have adequate financial records to receive financial assistance during the pandemic. So I don't know, maybe we can network with the BEP program people as SRC group, just to make sure that that's on track for people getting what they need in the future. So a lot of it really was about those two things. The big thing on the Randolph-Shepard was that, you know, we know that we're supposed to have first right to vending machines on government property, and the issue of the self-serving charging stations for electric vehicles came up, and that's being discussed between the Department of Education, DOT, and the state labor administrators, because essentially a self-charging station is a kiosk, and they believe that to be part of the business enterprise program or under Randolph-Shepard. When they start talking down that road, they jump into what about self-service gas stations? Should those also be part of the BEP program, since they're self-operated and essentially like a vending machine? So those are things coming down the line. But it really was great to hear from different states what they're doing. It did seem like not a lot of states had, quote unquote, people like me, blind people, on their administrative staff, because every time they were talking about an issue, they were referring to something on the screen, which left me out, maybe Gary as well, for some things. So there still are some concerns with a detachment between the people we're trying to help and then the agencies themselves. And that was lastly, you know, came into play when they had a success story come on, and someone from another state asked the question, well, how do you keep motivated to keep working? And someone said, and I didn't, you know me, I would have said it, essentially, you know, how does anybody maintain their motivation to keep working? It's become independent, provide for their family, and so forth. So the disconnect still exists, and hopefully we can help that. But I'm going to send out written notes that I've taken, and I'll distribute it to this list with a little more detail on it, but I just want to thank Mary for allowing me as the vice chair to attend along with Gary, because I think it is really invaluable for all of us to get some of that stuff into our system, because it really helps guide us on what we should be doing as a VR program, and specifically on the SRC. But thank you. Let me say that.
If I could interrupt for a second, I'm saying this in a very nice, pleasant way, but under Robert's rules, that report should go under reports or brought up somewhere else. That should not be part of the approving of the minutes. But I say that the information was great, and I'm happy to hear it, but just when you're redoing the minutes, I think you should probably move that to a different location.
Can I just ask who was speaking? Please identify yourself for the record.
Bill DeMayo.
Thank you, Bill.
Whoever unmuted, can you mute again? Because you... Okay, the minutes, does someone want to make a motion to approve the minutes or do we want to go over the minutes has everybody read the minutes? Hello?
Yes, I've read the minutes. Oh. I make a motion to accept the minutes from last meeting. Deb Reed.
Do I have a second?
Jeff.
John,
can you triple second?
Did you get that?
John McNichol second.
So, is there a motion to approve? Does everyone accept the minutes? Or is there? Yeah, you're all in favor. Sorry.
Aye.
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 Bill. Okay, thank you. Okay, so let's go to work groups now. The work group report. Who is doing that?
The first one's membership, and Lucretia Jones is our membership committee chair, but she is calling in from vacation, so ask that I do it for her, so that's not a problem. I'll just go ahead. Currently, we actually only have two vacancies, which is actually not bad, you know, so we the two current vacancies we have on the council, our Workforce Investment Board and the Department of Labor. So for the State Rehab Council, there are certain required positions that need to be on the council. So they list what positions. So everybody kind of represents somebody, whether it's an employer or parent or whatever the thing that you're, representing. So right now we're looking to have the Workforce Investment Board in a representative from the Department of Labor. So I know we actually had somebody at one point to represent the Department of Labor. She has not followed through with filling out her application. So I'll go ahead and ask her to submit that, so then we can submit it to the governor's office. We do have Jennifer Jenkins back, so welcome back, Jennifer. Her position is still valid through the Client Assistance Program, Protection Advocacy, or Disability Rights, I guess now is the name of the agency. So we had been looking to have Casey, represent Disability Rights, but now Jennifer's back representing.
Hi, everyone. I am back, and Casey is also going to be appointed. We cleared that with the governor's office so that in case there's any lapse in representation, again, we'll have a backup for you. Okay? It's nice to be back and see everyone again.
Yeah, nice to have you back.
See you, Jennifer.
So the finance,
Yep, Scott here. Okay. Morning all. So since the last meeting in June, we had membership dues for the Council of State Administrators for Vocational Rehab, as well as the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. And those dues totaled out to $3,316.56. We also purchased an Orbit Reader Braille display and note taker for the tech lab. That was $1,524. We purchased an ORCAM for the tech lab. That was $3,825. And a Reveal portable CCTV for the tech lab. And that was $4,743.15. So that total for the quarter, $13,408.71. That's the report.
Great.
I have a question on the report, Philip.
Sure.
The Orbit and the ORCAM, were those the same two that were reported, not the last meeting, but the previous meeting? There was a report of those, I believe.
Well, actually, I'm going to have to defer to Mary on that, because as I was going through the June meeting notes, I noticed what you noticed, and quite honestly, my assumption was that they were different.
I believe one may have overlapped. We only bought one ORCAM, I can tell you that much. They may have overlapped when the report was given, because I noticed one was given in June, so we gave we had a transition over of our fiscal staff. So when she gave us the report, she gave us everything from June going forward. So there may have been an overlap from the meeting, which was in June, at the end of June. So it's possible it's the same one. If you want, I could double check the minutes versus what we have, because I believe both of them were purchased in June. What happens is we do a purchase order for a purchase request to order the equipment, so it doesn't always reflect when the bill was paid. So there's sometimes a little bit of an overlap. So the report in June, and I was away, so I don't remember what we submitted. I think that was right around the time we were having a transition of the finance. We may have submitted when we created the purchase order rather than when we paid the purchase order. So we did not buy two. I do have a list from Jolene, our technologist, who created the POs, and I kind of cross-referenced what we have. So if we need to clarify, I can go back and just make sure that we didn't double report. But I know for a fact we didn't do more than one ORCAM. There's possible we may have done more than one CCTV, but I'd be surprised that we would order the same exact CCTV. We did do a few Braille notes as well, so. The best answer I can give you, I can get back to you.
Yeah, we just need to clarify that, because I'm just looking at the June item, and there's an Orbit Reader in there for $1,424, not the $1,524 in this report.
That is a duplicate, and I'll tell you why. Actually, I know that because it had come out as our credit card. So when I was giving it to Scott, it came back as J.P. Morgan, and so we went back to the actual purchase order, which was lower. So we had to do an adjustment to make it higher. So I questioned it. I said, "Well, what is this? I don't see anything that we ordered for 15." So it is the same item. So we can take it out of this report and leave it in last report. We definitely didn't duplicate both of those. So if we reported on it last month, then keep it in last month's.
Clarification,
gotcha.
I haven't heard much of the financials or been involved with them. When these reports are given with the spending, these are strictly for VR program, not for client devices, correct?
Yes, this particular report, you know, because there's two different reports, and I don't think we have a report, just again, because of our change of fiscal departments regarding the overall budget. There's an overall budget that Brian used to report on. But this is actually a finance report based on our innovation and expansion funds. Sometimes it's also known as strategic planning funds. So this is something that we put in our state plan through SRC. You know, that it comes out of a certain, you know, fund that basically, you know, we are using this money to kind of enhance professional development, our tech lab, which is actually a big goal of ours. You know, we have a marketing goal that's coming up, but the tech lab, we've worked really hard on the last couple of months to upgrade. So we are upgrading, kind of similar to what you were saying, Phil. We've, you know, the VR agencies have a lot of money that we didn't want to give back, basically.
Absolutely.
So we're upgrading. We ferociously upgraded our tech lab. You know, so the money did not lapse. We did lapse money, but not because of that. You know, so we did. You know, we did try to get these purchases through before the end of our fiscal year, which is September 30th. So there's probably going to be more that are going to be reported in the December meeting that we purchased during this quarter. So we've done a lot. Our technologist, Jolene, really worked on upgrading it. So we've got a very high-tech tech lab now. We also have a technologist down in the southern part of the state that has that also uses the portable. Like, she actually was the one who ordered the OrCam because she uses that a lot. So she needed that. So these devices and technology is used to do assessments for individuals before we actually order the equipment. So we ordered a bunch of Braille displays because that actually came up, you know, as an issue that we ordered a Braille note for an individual that didn't get a chance to use it before we ordered it. And they're not cheap, you know, so, you know, it came in, it just didn't work for her. She couldn't use it. So we had to return it, you know, and order another one. So we figured it's best to have a lot of these more high-end devices available so individuals can, you know, compare, you know, and use, you know, those to say, okay, this is going to be the best for me. So when we order it, we know it's going to be the best. And a lot of these companies don't let you return things, so.
Excellent. Thank you.
No problem.
That helps.
So, okay, so that's the finance report. That was a good report. How was the consumer satisfaction, sir? How about the consumer satisfaction?
I don't know that we actually ever got a work group together. I'm going to kind of tag team with Cheryl. We can kind of do this report together, I guess. You know, regarding the consumer satisfaction survey, I'll give you an update regarding my perspective, and then Cheryl can give an update regarding her perspective regarding, because we do have an MOA that needs to be complete, like done. Like, we need to revise our MOA with Central Connecticut State University. So there's a few different options. Keep it the same and go forward. Change it, which would, you know, is going to require probably a price change, but it may not, depending, because we are now doing the survey electronically, you know, rather than having an individual call the person. So if we don't get a response from the electronic survey, then they'll call. But that manpower to call everybody is now not there anymore. So it may not change the cost, is what I'm saying. But we've talked about this for the last few months, you know, regarding, you know, changing the survey. I know you guys had requested that we change the survey. I have met with VR staff. I've met with everybody Central to try to come up with a way to change the survey. You know, and there's a couple different options, and I did eventually come up with one that might help. You know, there's two issues. The first issue is we already have a like a survey document that we went and developed with Central. So if we went and surveyed our unsuccessful, you know, closures, meaning that people like left the program without a successful closure, that that survey will not work, because the survey is regarding, you know, what services you, you know, use to achieve your employment outcome. That's where the survey is designed. So if we did decide to survey our unsuccessful, you know, individuals that are closed unsuccessfully, we would have to change the survey. So that's the one issue. You know, so, you know, the only other option is to try to survey individuals at various you know, stages of the program. And so that will create more people being surveyed at any given time. But the issue that you're going to have with that is you're going to have people surveyed, you know, duplicate survey. So you may get an individual that is surveyed twice, you know, or three times. You know, so in order to survey everybody in 18, you know, we could do it, which status 18 means they're in training and they're in the process. So it doesn't mean necessarily that they've accessed a lot of services. So that's our highest population right now. So if out of 750 individuals, that would probably be around 400. So you would have to do, or even more. I should have actually looked at that beforehand. So you would do like each quarter, like A through D, D through, you know, J or whatever. You know, that's the only thing that I can come up with. Otherwise, an option is to maybe do a work group to try to change it. It will most likely not get implemented for this year. So it's either we go with a whole change of who we target for now, keep it the same. You know, we have the longitudinal comparison that Diana talked about the last time she was here, and then create a work group that we can figure out how to change the entire document. And we're also going to be having a new director at some point starting, so that decision probably should be made by the director. So that's my
Cheryl. Yeah. Cheryl, this is Deb. I really do think that surveying people in the program quarterly would have value, so that issues could be addressed with difficulties in training. But I do also think that we need to figure out what, you know, the criteria is. You know, is it going to be the same as those with successful outcomes, or should we have a work group to figure out, you know, how we want to address, you know, the status of how these people are doing that don't have the successful outcomes, and what needs to be, you know, changed so that more can have a successful outcome.
You know, I would think that you might want to have two surveys, one for people that have completed the program and one for people that are in the program currently.
Good morning, everyone. It's Cheryl. Thank you, Mary, for the summary, and Deb, thanks for weighing in, and Gary as well. From my perspective, a few meetings that I've been on over these months, Deb, you've all mentioned this, I think that if somebody can take the lead and establish a small subgroup, work group, and just really compile some of the suggestions, kind of who, what, where, when, why, how. What would you, if you could wave your magic wand, what would you like to see with this survey? And just compile that into one document that gives me and Mary and Commissioner Porter just a look at what this group would like to see in a survey. And then we can take that information to Diana at Central and determine kind of a forward course of action. We are in the process of Mary's worked on a draft